to Building Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, August 5th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 62. My name is Rob, that's Jason. Hey, was that fast enough for you?
Hi, Rob. That's how slow I felt because you were going so fast.
Uh-huh. Mine was funnier.
You liked, of course it was. You like to do intros different sometimes.
Sometimes so I like to do that.
You're like, should I do it really fast like that Micro Machines guy? You didn't say that. Remember the guy who was like, I'm Micro Machines. I talk really fast.
That was cool. Yeah. Those are my favorite commercials when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I would always look forward to new Micro Machines commercials.
Yeah.
Well, why was fast talking and Micro Machines, why were those a thing? Why did those connect so well? What did one have to do with the other?
It didn't make any sense.
It didn't.
Micro does not equal fast.
No, but it did make so much sense.
At the time, when you were a kid, you're like, of course it does!
Oh, man, because they're little, and he talks fast. Oh, yeah.
And he had that stash.
Oh, man, he did have an awesome stash. Did you have a bunch of Micro Machines?
I did.
I had a ton of Micro Machines.
Loved them.
Yeah, oh, me too. I don't even know why this existed, but I had a Micro Machines Darth Vader lightsaber. And it was Darth Vader lightsaber, and it would open up into a Micro Machines playset. Why? I don't know. Did it have Star Wars vehicles? Nope.
Still awesome, though.
It was great, though.
Yeah. Kind of want that now.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, Micro Machines. Man, those were cool.
Micro Machines. Yeah.
You know what?
Micro Machines.
I bet you could use Micro Machines in Formula D.
It would make the game more fun, that's for sure.
No, it wouldn't be more fun. It would just be more awesome.
Nope. It might actually be fun then.
All right,
we're not going to have our tangent.
No, we don't need that.
How much I hate
we
that
don't
game.
Need that. Hi, guys. How's everybody doing out there? Thanks for tuning in for another exciting episode of Building the Game. We're appreciative that you came back and that you continue to come back all the time. And I think we've got another great show lineup for you. Let's do this the NPR way. Hi, guys. I think we've got a really good show for you here today. That's bad.
Mm, yeah, good show.
Right. Anyway.
Okay, I lost my train of thought because you were making me think of NPR shows.
Okay.
I was wishing that I could do a good Garrison Keillor impression.
Oh, he's one of a kind. Nobody can really do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going pretty good.
So. How's Water Balloon Washout going?
It's going all right, yeah. We don't have big updates from last time because of the proximity of recording. But,
right.
Yeah, it's going. I mean, we still have a ways to go, but we can get there. We can get there with your help. So back the game.
Yes, back the game.
$15, man. I mean, you can't go wrong. $15.
It's easy.
And I have to say that a lot of pretty much all the people that I play tested the game with who've tried it and know it's on Kickstarter have backed it. And that says something.
It's encouraging.
Because they all had print and play copies already. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's... You know, the best feedback I've gotten from a lot of people was, I'd like to try this again, you know, after playing it. And that, as a designer, man, there's
that's
better
cool.
compliment than that.
Yeah,
like,
that's
can
great.
We play this again? So,
yeah, that's really cool.
You know, that's cool. So, yeah, I hope more people give it a try. By now, you're listening to this, our BGG ad should be up and running.
With the advertisements on BGG, we talked about last week.
Yep. Okay. So that should be up and running. If you want to know the details on the cost and stuff of that, listen to the last episode. You probably already did because you listened to the show. But if you haven't, listen to the last episode, episode 61.
Right.
And on that episode, we go into all the details. And
pricing and how all the cost of that.
Yeah, and we'll keep being very open about pricing and everything. I want to show what this takes, you know, from start to finish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Water Balloon Washout, Kickstarter right now. Go get yourself a copy. 2, 3, 4, you know, hey.
400.
400. You know what? It's a fun game.
It's a fun game.
It's a super fun game.
And it's cheap.
And it's cheap. Can't beat the price.
You know, something else about the game that I think people should enjoy is it's not technically a family game, but you certainly can play it with your family.
You sure can.
And kids can learn it pretty quickly, but adults find that it's got a lot of replayability. You know, it's not like so many kids games, like... You know, so many games, sorry, not kids games, so many games you play with your kids, you're like, oh my gosh, this is Candyland, this game is so stupid.
Yeah.
But, you know, this game is a game that you'll have fun playing with your adult friends, too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool.
It is cool. Yeah. You know. Go out there, support the game. Supporting the game is supporting this show. You know, it's not that we don't not going to use.
Let's not make people feel guilty.
Yeah, well,
about
no,
it.
But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's not that we're not going to use that money for this show. I mean, that money is for making that game. But if you helping Jason with this game is helping us have more to talk about, having us more experience to share with you guys
right.
for the show. It's good. It's good for everything.
And the good news is too, this is the last episode we're gonna harass you about it.
Right.
So
because after this posts, the campaign will soon end.
Yep.
So you are running out of time.
Yes. This is the last week.
This is last
literally,
week.
This is the last week.
Yes.
It's gonna end on August 11th at 11:59 PM.
Yeah.
Get out there now.
Go do it. Go do it, do it, do it.
So I feel like we can be a little harassy because it's the last time.
Water balloon wash up, back it.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Pause the show. Here, we'll give you a minute. Pause the show. Okay, we're back. So you went in and backed it during that pause. Thank you very much. We appreciate that, guys. Thank you so much.
So, hey, what have you been playing? I know for a fact that you haven't really been playing
anything. I've been playing nothing. I've been busy as all get out.
But hey, I've been playing stuff.
What you been playing,
Jason? I was
on
vacation, so I was playing stuff. And fans of the show heard us talk about we were talking about dexterity games a while back.
Yeah.
They heard us talk about games with dexterity, and they sent me a message and said, hey, I have a dexterity game that we're going to, I think they're going to put it on Kickstarter sometime in the near future.
Okay.
And they said, would you be interested in checking it out? We have a prototype. Would you want to check it out? And would you be interested in just seeing what you think of it and maybe giving us some feedback? I said, I would love to, especially because it was cool because we had just talked about dexterity games, you know? So,
yeah.
And the game is called Bocce Dice. And basically the game is a board that's I'm not sure exactly the size on it, but it's bigger than a piece of paper.
Okay.
Right. And it's basically a mouse pad. Like the board is made of mouse pad material, right?
Cool.
Printed very nicely.
Yeah.
I really, really like the quality of the printing. But it's like a mouse pad, right? And then you have these solid colored dice that very, very much look like bocce balls. Like,
okay.
I mean, you know, that solid color of the bocce balls, like the orange and the red and the yellow and the green. And, and basically you're just tossing those dice onto the board, trying to score. And, it almost looks like a football field the way it's partitioned off. And I've never played bocce, but people that I was playtesting it with had, and they said that was very familiar to them.
Okay.
And you're just trying to get to your side of the board. And if you land within certain areas, you automatically get what you rolled on the die as points. If it's in play. And then on certain areas, you also get like 10 bonus points or 5 bonus points. And then if you have a 1 that's in legal play on the board, you can choose to re-roll it, which is really dangerous because the game is difficult, right? Like at first, the first couple plays, we were like, wow, this is really hard. And I was playing with a couple people who were very experienced dice rollers, like myself.
Okay.
And a few people that were very inexperienced dice rollers. And if you're somebody who plays games where you roll dice, and maybe you have like a technique or something to rolling dice, you're going to do better right on the offset of this game.
Really?
Right?
Okay.
Because like when I roll dice, I generally put a backspin on them, which turns out to be really useful in this game.
Okay.
Because you're trying to get it over to this point you want it, but then you want it to kind of backspin so that it doesn't go off the board.
Sure.
Because I mean, there's like a wicked bounce if you do it wrong, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's like that neoprene stuff that it's made out of. That's
exactly.
Got some bounce to it. Yeah,
yeah, which is cool. That's what you want, you know. Because if you were just throwing it on like a flat thing on the table, that would be lame, you know. Yeah. But this gives it some bounces, you know.
Cool.
Anyway, so I had a great time playing with it, and the more we played it, the more you kind of got it under control for, okay, this is how you kind of go. I mean, by the end, we still weren't experts on it. We played maybe 6 or 7 games of it.
Oh, wow. So it plays fast?
Yeah, it plays fast, yeah. Okay. And you just, you count up to like 9. You win a round, and you get a point for that round. And we played up, I think it was to 9. And it was cool. And I got to give the guy some feedback, and he was super nice, and it was fun to try it.
Cool.
And just to give a shout out, the designer's name is Kevin. So thank you so much, Kevin, for sending that over. So
great.
I can't wait for it to be on Kickstarter. If we see it out there, I'm sure they'll let us know when it's out there. We'll make sure to give you guys a shout out because it's a fun game and it's different, you know. And we like games that are different. That kind of catch your eye. So
cool.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Well, good stuff. Let's talk about a mechanic of the week here. Huh?
Let's.
Yeah, we'll roll right into that. And the mechanic that we had today was, well, we found this on BGG. It's they call it campaign/battle card driven, and it sounds like what they mean by that is the idea where in some kind of a battle or thing, the actions that you take or the attacks that you make or whatever are not based on a die roll. They're not, and a die roll might be part of that. It's not based on an action point thing. It's based on playing a card from your hand, and you have right. a card in your hand to take an action, and you play that card to take that action, and then you're done. You're not going to get that card back. It's done. It's gone.
Right.
It's over with.
And this is a pretty popular mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's used in a good deal of games.
Yeah, but go ahead. No.
My first thought was Damsels in Distress.
But you're going to get that back. You know?
You do. Like, okay, so you get the cards back. Yeah. I have nothing.
Okay. Well, this is a game that I've not played before, but I've heard about. Some of you guys out there might be familiar with the video series on Penny Arcade TV, PATV, Shut Up and Sit Down. I think those guys have a podcast also. But they recently did a video kind of video review. They call it a let's play of this game called Operation Overlord. And I guess it's based on Memoir 44, but it was a really interesting idea where it's a 6-player game and it's 3 people on either side of the table. And the guy in the center on each side is kind of the commander and controls the center flank of a World War II kind of base, or I don't flank the center force of an army. Of, you know, Russians versus Germans, okay? And then the 2 guys sitting on either side of him control the right flank and the left flank. And so everybody kind of has their own individual opponent on this map. But on each turn, it sounds like a neat game. On each turn, the commander is only allowed to talk to one of his 2 lieutenants. You know, so I can either give directions to the guy on the right flank or the guy on the left flank, but not both. Can't talk. I only talk to 1 guy per turn.
Nice.
You know? And if I want to spend all my time talking to the guy on my right and ignore the guy on my left for the whole game, I can do that, but I'm probably going to piss him off. But so you can talk to them about strategy, but when it comes time to take actions, you have to hand them a card. And on my turn as the commander, I haven't played the game. I'm just from watching their videos is what I gathered. But on my turn, I'm going to get a certain number of cards per turn that are command cards. And some of the cards I can use myself. Some of the cards I can only give to the guy on the right flank. And some of the cards I can only give to the guy on the left flank.
Okay.
You know, and so they can only take an action if I give them a card that lets them do that.
Makes sense.
I think is a very cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that sounds like a massive game and looks like it takes forever to play, so I will never play that game.
Nope, me either.
I have no interest in actually playing that game.
Not going to
happen. But it sounds like a super cool idea.
Right. Those big games like that, I always get excited, like, oh, this looks so cool. You want to play? No, dude, I don't have 12 hours to spend. No,
are you kidding me? Yeah, right. So that was the first thing that popped in my head, but apart from that, I'm not really sure what other games have that feature in them where the action is strictly tied to the thing on the card.
Yeah.
And that once that card is done, it's done.
Yeah, I mean, earlier I was like, oh, that's in a lot of games, because there's so many games where you use cards to do things. But yeah, kind of that idea of I played a card, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk more about what we could do with it.
Right? Okay, sure.
I mean, I think this would lend itself very well to like a fighting game, right?
Okay.
If you've got moves and stuff you're going to do, like, I'm going to kick you with my backflip kick.
Yeah, my backflip kick is pretty harsh, man.
Right.
It's wicked bad.
It's no match for my handstand kick.
Your handstand kick, it's weak.
Let's make a game about dance fighting.
Okay.
Oh, let's make a game about break dancing. Yes!
Yeah, you got served, homie.
You got served.
It's called You Got Served the Game. Okay, and so the point of the game is you have all these moves, but you're only going to want to use each move once. Otherwise, you're repeating yourself, and that's right. Lame. That's lame sauce.
In fact, maybe there were some duplicates of cards. So, if there was a way to track it, so you could use the same move. Mm-hmm. Oh!
You're really excited about this.
Smackdown!
Okay.
So maybe there's a way to keep the cards out in play that have been used. Oh, no, no. Oh, even better. Even better. So you get cards, right?
Yeah.
And you're playing them and you share a deck, right? And there are some duplicates. Not two of every card, but there are some duplicates. So I play a move, you play a move, I play a move, you know, and I'm getting points and you're getting served. Maybe you even have a dance crew that you're working with, right? So like, but if you play a move that I've already played, or I play a move I've already played, the other person can call you out on that. Kind of like a game called BS that people have heard of, maybe. Yeah. And if I call you out on that and say, you know, like, somebody already did that move. That's lame. That's not fresh, yo. Right?
Yeah.
And then we look through the deck. And if I'm right,
then
you lose points. But if I'm wrong...
You look through the discard pile,
basically. Yeah, yeah. And if I'm wrong, then I basically just skip my turn to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to lose the dance. So what's cool about that is you make the move similar, right?
Yeah.
So it's confusing. So you're like, I already played this move. And you're like, oh, you already played that. No, you didn't. You know, that would be... Oh.
Okay, all right. So
I want to play this game. I don't want to design it, but I want to play it.
All right, so you've got two decks of cards, all right? There's the move deck, right?
Yeah.
And you're both drawing from the same deck to play, right, to do your dance moves, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean, I can do the same move as you, but I don't want to do the same move twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And then their second deck is the music track.
You read my mind. Yes,
right. Okay, so what you got to do is you shuffle the music track, and then at the start of the round, you lay out like four cards in a row that are the song that you're dancing to, right?
Right.
And those have like colored icons that will just basically make a chain or a track that you need to follow, okay? And you can lay down your move cards in whatever order you want, and they're going to have icons that connect them to each other. They give you points for chaining cool moves together. But if you can also make that match the colored icons on the music cards, then you get bonus points because then you're in sync with the music. You know,
as long as it's not like Dance Dance Revolution, where you're trying to match the moves.
Yeah, well, matching icons is kind of a.
But I'm thinking the same thing as you are. It doesn't even have to be icons. It could be like color, right? Like this music colored. Is like fast,
right?
And red, which means it's fast and hot,
right?
And if you want to play more cards, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe like. Oh, that could be an easier way to do it, too. Just one music card comes up every time, right? So think about it this way. One music card comes up, and your option is to do the fast, right? Like, so if it's like, it's fast and it's intense, that's the music that came up. So you want to play as many moves as possible, because the more moves you play, you're going to get a bonus, because it's fast, right?
Okay.
So you want to play more moves, and if you can play them in a way that... the color is like the intense color, then you're going to get even more bonus points. So like when the music is slower, you want to do different kinds of moves mm-hmm. than you want to do. I feel like this would be a great game to have like a massive hand, right? Like of any, like at any time, like you've got like 12 cards in your hand because you want to try and play as many as you can.
Yeah.
But you also sometimes like you're going to hold back like, well, this is slow. If I just play one card, I'm going to get a big bonus for that. Especially if that one card, I can match the thing.
Yeah. So I think this is a game you play in rounds. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first round, you start with six cards in your hand. Okay. At the end of the round, you have score a number of points. Okay. And then you have a point total at the end. And now you have the choice. You can either keep those points for next time, or you can exchange those points for more cards to put in your hand.
Yeah.
There you go. And so you have to decide, do I want more cards to have more options for the next round, for the next dance fight?
Right.
You know? Or do I want to try and bank those points and just trust that I'm going to have a good hand to get into this? And so you know, every round is a maximum of six moves in a row or something.
Nice.
Yeah. Dude, that's a game right there.
It's a game.
That is,
I don't know that anyone would buy it.
Oh, man. I would love to make it, though. I would love to make it.
Sounds
it.
So fun, though.
Dance fight the game.
Yeah. Some word, awesome yo. Artwork.
Oh, yeah.
People dancing on the cardboard box. Because you have to do, like... 80s, 90s style, right? You know, like break dancers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, guy on with the bandana.
Boombox.
Yeah, the big ghetto blaster on his shoulder.
Remember the kid in play here?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like 12 feet tall?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, just doing the, you know, spins and crap on the cardboard box on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of spray paint, lettering. Oh, man.
I'm in. Sold.
This is gold right here.
This is gold.
This is pure gold. We just made a game like that. We're geniuses.
Well, we're practicing too.
Right, for, it's dance
for,
fighting.
Well, we're practicing for Gen Con.
We are.
When we're going to have to do it in front of an audience, right. Which is going to make it more difficult. It's easier when we're just staring at our ugly mugs, right?
Right.
So
dance fighting.
Hey, I heard you were going to pitch a game there. Why don't we stop where we're ahead and...
Oh, I love that idea, though. I love that idea.
Yeah.
I think it's so stupid. That's so stupid. It's great.
You are free to explore that one on your own.
I'm just envisioning, you know, because now the music cards that have to have like a waveform on them, you know, like an audio track. I don't know. Anyway.
Right. Quick note before you do your pitch.
Sure, go for it.
Another thing to talk about for mechanic. Really quick. If you haven't listened to last week's podcast, or if you have and you weren't sure if you should act, Scrapyard Cats, that challenge is still out there. So if you're a programmer who's interested, listen to last week's episode, get a hold of us, then listen to episode 40, then maybe get a hold of us.
Yeah.
And let's talk.
The genius of Scrapyard Cats.
Scrapyard Cats,
The time trading memory game.
Yes.
Yes.
A time trading memory game.
There you go.
That is the subtitle right there. Scrapyard Cats,
the time trading memory game.
This is why I'm glad we record this stuff, because no one will remember that tomorrow.
No, not a chance. No, but it's forever.
Now you're going to pitch a game, and I'm going to preface this a little bit for you. If you've been a longtime listener of the show,
getting a little serious here.
There's this white... This
Let's bring it down a minute.
There's this... Oh, what do we call it? A unicorn that Rob has talked about for so long. This game that Rob was going to pitch, maybe, and people kept asking him to pitch it, and he kept saying no.
I'm just not ready.
I just don't know if I can live up to it.
You know, it's an important project. I think it really could be an important project.
And then there was a rumbling, and Rob felt it. And today, Rob is going to pitch. What is it, Rob?
Toilet Wars.
Oh, Toilet Wars! Man.
Yeah, I'm going to pitch Toilet Wars. All right. It's been a long time coming. We've joked about it incessantly. And you know what, Jason? You're absolutely right. A lot of people have contacted us about Toilet Wars.
A surprising number of people have said, I would wish you would pitch Toilet Wars.
More than I think is healthy, really.
Yeah.
More people than should.
So,
yeah.
It's. So, but we haven't talked about it for a while. So
No.
If you haven't listened to the old episodes, check out our website. You can go to the episode list and you can listen to the old episodes.
I don't remember what episodes.
I don't remember which ones, so just listen to them all. That'd be great.
All of them, just start from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been listening for a few episodes now, once you've got a few episodes under your belt, I suggest you go back from the beginning. But listen to a few of the newest episodes first, because then you can hear what we sound like after getting some experience and better equipment, rather than us sounding just like total morons.
Well, we still kind of sound like morons.
Yeah, but we sound good like morons because
dance
we have
fight.
Nothing will be as awesome as Scrapyard Cats, the time trading memory game.
Yeah. All right. Anyway,
Toilet Wars.
Toilet Wars. All right. So I got thinking about Toilet Wars again because I was recently on the How to Do Everything podcast, which is a fantastic show, and they do a segment every week on that show. They call the Toilet of the Week, and they talk to people from around the country who have seen or experienced some kind of a really cool bathroom somewhere. And so I emailed them and said, you know, basically, hey, you know, I don't really have a very exciting bathroom, but my wife and I worked really hard on it in remodeling it in our house. And so, you know, I think it's a pretty cool bathroom. And to my surprise, they called me and said, hey, we think you've got our Toilet of the Week. Because that just sounds cool. And I was like, yeah, great. Anyway, so that got me thinking about it. Because I also mentioned on the show that I had a podcast that was about games. And this didn't make it onto the final show. But one of the hosts of that kind of asked me, have you ever designed a toilet or a game in your toilet, in your bathroom? And I didn't get into it on there. But ever since then, I've been thinking about, you know, come to think of it, Toilet Wars.
Toilet Wars.
Toilet Wars. And so I was sitting there in the bathroom. I won't tell you what I was doing. But I was sitting there in the bathroom looking down at the floor, and we have little 1-inch hex tiles on our floor. And I thought, gosh, you know, hex tiles, a hex grid, 1-inch hex grid. Gosh, that just makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It does.
It just makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to pitch a miniatures battle game set in the bathroom. Toilet Wars. All right. So the
I think when people wanted you to pitch Toilet Wars, their first concern was it wasn't a miniatures game, because I'm already terrified of what the miniatures are.
Well, that depends on what faction you want to take.
Okay.
So the idea of the game, I think it's a 2 or 4 player game. So you know, 1-on-1 or 2 teams.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the main floor. The main game board is a grid, hex grid. And it is a board. It's on a preset size board, and it's the same board every time. And to give it some scale, I didn't want to just make it 1-to-1 scale, okay? Because then I'm thinking I'm really, you know, we got units are going to be bugs and things.
Right.
And that's, I mean, I'm still got some stuff like that in here, but I just wanted to have a little more scale to it.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm making it's. I'm thinking of this as 1/6 scale. All right. So
okay.
So a 1-inch hex on the game board is equal to a 6-inch hex tile on your bathroom floor.
Cool.
Which is yeah, that's reasonable. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a that's what we got. It's a grid movement with your units. Okay. The only thing that's pre-printed on the board, apart from the grid itself, is the toilet.
Of course.
Okay, because the toilet, it's kind of on one side of the board and it's in the center, all right? Each player, let's talk in terms of a 2-player game for now.
Yeah.
All right, each player takes the control of one faction. And I don't know what all the factions would be. What I've got right now in my notes, I have a bacterial colony, okay?
Okay.
So, you know, little gooey blob dudes. Scrubbing bubbles.
Okay.
You know?
So cleaning products, basically.
Cleaning products, yeah, right. And it would have to be some kind of, you know, anthropomorphized cleaning products, like scrubbing bubbles. That's copyrighted, so not that, but that kind of idea. A cockroach army.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, gross. And then rubber duckies. Because, you know, why not? I don't know.
Because why not?
Because why not? Because this is Toilet Wars, all right?
This is Toilet Wars.
Toilet Wars, right. Okay. Okay, so each player picks a faction. And you have 4 different unit types that you can choose from.
Okay,
okay? you have supporters. Supporters are kind of, you know, your they give you buffs, they give you bonuses to attacks and defenses and things. You have movers. These are units that are very mobile and can move around the board great distances. Not a lot of great attack, not a lot of great defense, but they can really move. They're very versatile. You have attackers that have really, really high impact, but very low defenses. And then you have defenders that can soak up the damage, can't really deal a whole lot out, but they can kind of stand up there and take it.
Right.
Okay.
Like a sponge.
Like
a cleaning
team. Sponge. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So what you need to do is on your turn, you need to pick 6 units.
Okay.
Okay. And it could be any combination of any six units you want. All right. Component wise, I'd probably require you need to have at least 3 different units or something, just so I don't have to have 6 of every type in there. But at any rate, you got to have at least 3 types. Any combination though that you want after that. Each unit is just a miniature. But then you also have a separate card that explains the powers and the stats of those units. So if you have 3 attackers out there, you only need 1 card for all 3 of those attackers.
Right.
You know, that's fine. Okay. Okay. So game setup, first you pick your faction and then you pick your units. Then there are terrain pieces. Okay. And these, there are large and small terrain pieces, and each player gets to pick one of each and place it somewhere on the board.
Okay.
All right. And these are basically chipboard tiles that would fit on the hex grid somewhere.
Right.
So large terrain pieces might be like a trash can or a sink or a bathtub or a rug.
Okay.
Okay. You know, and they will have different effects on gameplay, you know.
Of course.
Okay. You know, if it's the bathtub, it's so big, you just got to go around and it's a big obstacle. If it's the trash can, you can actually climb up on top of the trash can and so anybody attacking from a higher point of view is going to have a bonus to the attack.
Like a ranged attack.
Right. The rug, it's a soft, squishy rug, so it slows movement down through it.
Right.
You know, this kind of stuff, right?
Of course.
All right. And then for smaller obstacles, you got smaller chipboard tiles. This is like a puddle of water. Or
Kleenex.
other fluid, maybe on the floor, you know. Yeah, a wadded up Kleenex, maybe a pair of underwear in the corner or something, you know. A toilet paper roll, so, who knows, okay?
Right.
So, you know, a toilet paper roll, if somebody's standing in the toilet paper roll, they can only be attacked from that end or that end, but not any other directions. You know, got to have line
of toothpaste.
Glob of toothpaste, sure, makes somebody get stuck when they go in there. Okay, this is the idea. And those Those terrain features, so two of each size, so there's four on the board. Those are placed up front, and they stay there for the rest of the game. Okay, so now the game board is set up. You have the toilet on one side, against the side of the wall. The wall of the bathroom is the idea. And then the two opposite corners are where the two factions approach from.
Gotcha.
The goal of the game is to either eliminate all the other units from your opponent, or to have a unit sitting on the toilet for two turns. Okay? So you need to control the toilet.
It's like King of the Hill.
Yeah, basically King of the Hill, right. Either knock everybody out or become King of the Hill.
King of the Toilet.
Right, right. So, okay. So each mini has that specific card with stats on it. There are four different stats. There's movement, attack, defense, and a special action or special ability.
Right.
Okay.
Sweet.
So movement is however many spaces they can move on their turn. Attack is their attack power. And I'm thinking probably a die roll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is a bonus to a die roll. Okay. And then special is some kind of special action. Special action might be a bonus attack. It might be, in some cases, though, it might be a way to build an obstacle.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like add a new obstacle. Add a new small obstacle to the board or something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Right.
Or remove an obstacle.
Right, right. But in addition to that, you've also got turn or cards. Okay. You know what? Let me finish with these stats, and then I'll get to cards.
Sure.
All right. So the actions that you take are based on action points. At start of your turn, you get a certain number of action points. Each player gets a certain number of action points that they can spend however they want to on their turn to take actions. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to have more actions or more units than you have points to spend. I'm thinking right now you get as many action points as you have units on the table. I don't know. We'll see.
I've seen that done before. That makes sense.
Yeah. So if you want to move, you got to spend one action point, and then you can move your total up to your total move distance.
Right.
Okay. If you want to attack, it's going to cost you two action points. If you want to use your special, it's going to cost you three action points. Okay. A defense, if you're defending, you can always defend for free. But if you end up defending, that means you're not going to be able to attack on your next turn, or you're not going to be able to move on your next turn. There's some consequence. If you get attacked, you know, you're going to spend your energy to defend against that attack,
right,
which means that unit is going to be hampered on the next turn. Okay.
Makes sense.
Right. Okay. So that's basic combat. Now, what you can also do, though, is you can also play cards. From your hand, you have a deck. You have a hand of cards, and the cards are not actions. They're not special things that happen. The cards also have a hex grid printed on them, and then have some kind of an item on them. So that item might be a Q-tip.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is you're going to play that card, and you're going to lay it down on the game board and line it up so that the grid matches the grid that's printed on the table. And that Q-tip now is an obstacle. So if you can put that down in front of your opponent's unit, they can't jump over that, or it's going to cost them an extra movement point to get over that. They're going to have to go around or whatever. You can put down a Band-Aid, sticky side up. So if they step on that, they get stuck there.
Right.
You can put down a toothbrush, which is something they can hide behind. You know, right. So it gives them a defense bonus. And those things might be down there for two turns or one turn or whatever. So these are like temporary obstacles and temporary ways to change the terrain, change the board in the battle at any time. That's it. And sometimes it might give you a bonus. You might get, it's maybe somebody dropped a tube of toothpaste, and now you can squeeze that tube of toothpaste to shoot at somebody else. So like turret installations, kind of.
Right.
So it's kind of like a tower defense kind of idea as well.
Nice.
Putting obstacles in the way, or you're putting in new items that you can use to attack people with.
Like, I picture like a Dixie cup, like upside down. You can put it over someone, and they're stuck until somebody else comes and moves it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the fixed pieces, the chipboard pieces that you put down originally, they're there, but these cards that you're putting down are there temporarily.
Right.
They don't necessarily have to be there forever.
I like
okay?
that.
Okay. And you might do, you know, you might do the shaving cream brush to brush stuff away or something, you know?
Right.
Whatever. Okay. That's the basic concept here. Yeah, so winner is whoever can wipe out the other faction or who can control the toilet for two rounds.
The only thing I would change about that is you'd have to fix the action points. Like, it couldn't be, you'd have to have a set amount of action points, I think.
You think
except
so?
For some units give you bonuses, maybe. Like, maybe one guy's special ability is you get an extra action point whenever he's in play. Reason being, you said, like, a special might cost three action points. If you're down to one character, you'll never be able to use your
That's
special ability.
That's a good point, yeah.
So,
okay, you're right. That's a good point.
And maybe even there's terrain that, like, while this terrain is in play, everyone gets a bonus action point.
Sure, yeah, right. Or it could be a special thing that a card that you put down for that terrain.
You could have somebody whose special ability is spend one action point to gain an action point next turn. Yeah. So you can, that way next turn, you're going to start with an extra action point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you like store it up.
And I think each card would have an action point cost, and different cards would cost different things.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, one card, you might be able to play that down and only cost one action point. Or if you have a really awesome card, it might cost you six action points.
But your whole turn. Yeah.
Your whole turn. But then it's ready to go for your next thing. Right. So that's what I'm thinking. So action point driven cards and miniature unit movement on this grid board to control the bathroom.
Yeah. I have nothing to add, man. I'm awestruck that you put that much into the idea for Toilet Wars. I hope that, listeners, it was worth the wait, because it certainly was for me.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I know. It's still a really silly idea, and it could get really gross. So it would have to be kind of cartoony and silly,
honestly,
to keep it really gross.
This is a good enough idea that I really feel like it would be better themed with something more sellable than Toilet Wars.
You think so?
I mean, this is a really unique idea.
Being able to
lay the cards down and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would almost consider, like, listeners are probably like up and they're throwing their arms right now. They just threw their iPods across the room because I said this, but I think the mechanics of this are worthy of a more sellable theme.
You think so?
I personally think
so. What kind of theme?
I don't know. Some sort of tactics theme or something. You know what I mean? To do with fighting. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Mm. I just feel like Toilet Wars, the theme, may not be as marketable as we feel like it is for the show.
You're probably right.
I'm just saying, the mechanics you're describing here, that's a serious game. You could make a serious game with those mechanics.
That was kind of the point, that it'd be a serious game with a silly theme wrapped around it. To take the silly theme that we've been joking about forever and actually make it, hey, this could be a real thing. That was my goal, honestly.
Right. I'm just impressed because those are really solid mechanics. Like, really solid mechanics. So, I'm just pointing that out. Keep those mechanics in mind.
Okay.
So.
All right. Part of the humor of it, of course, is that it's this whole, you know, Q-tips and Band-Aids and whatever. Right.
But it could be other things, too.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm not, if your dream is to make and publish Toilet Wars, I fully support you. I will back it. I will buy a copy.
Okay.
I think there's something else you could do with it.
Okay.
The theme is a circus.
Theme is a circus?
A circus, and all the animals are loose, and they're fighting. Maybe it's two circuses attacking each other in an all-out brawl.
For control of the big top?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Then you can have, like, different big top themed things in there, and I guess that's still kind of a silly theme.
It's pretty silly.
Yeah. I don't know. Machine guns, whatever, something. But I feel like a lot of those themes are overdone, so it's tough. You would have to find something truly unique to apply to this.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll think more about that. Yeah. So anyway, Toilet Wars. Who knows? Who knows? I think it's a neat idea.
In stores next week. Toilet Wars. Find in Walmart.
Hey,
people would be really unhappy when they got that game from Walmart, though. Like, this game's really complicated.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know what? If I had a game at Walmart, I'd be totally okay with that.
So
that would mean that Walmart bought millions of copies of that game.
Yes,
I'd be totally okay with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rob Couch, full time game designer.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's Toilet Wars. Hey,
hey, I think we have some comments.
Yeah, we sure do. We have a couple of them. These are both on episode 58 about custom dice and dead salesmen. First one is from our good friend Danny Devine. He says, "Hey guys, Jason, best of luck with your Kickstarter. I was officially backer number 14. Thank you, sir."
Yeah.
"I tried to jump in sooner but missed the Twitter announcement. Rob, the salesman game with the added changes you guys discussed sounds great. I really like what Jason was saying about how many spaces over to the left or right when the salesman died, determining your points. Looking forward to hearing more on this one." Yeah, great. I still really like the idea. I think there's still some challenges with it, but once we get past Gen Con, that's on my list of stuff to try and flesh out more. Then we have another comment from Sarah. Sarah says, "Interesting house rule for King of Tokyo. My husband and I actually like King of Tokyo two-player with normal rules because it becomes a very strategic game. It's less chaotic for sure, but then again, we love Euro games, so it simulated a Euro-style game with big movie monsters. So we have a blast with it. you know, that's a good approach.
That is a good approach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like a little more randomness, I guess, so that's why we went with the... But I can see what she means.
Absolutely.
With just two, it is very, it's much
changing. More it's a cut different and dry. Kind of game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. She goes on to say Castle Dice is a big box with a lot of empty space.
I opened it. She's right.
Okay. But I do enjoy the game, and I'm hopeful that there will be expansions to fill up the emptiness. I wish their dice symbols were a little clearer. I haven't looked at it, but is that.
Mine looked pretty good. Yeah. But it's interesting because I remember back to the conversation I had with Grant Wilson about Dwarven Miner and how they decided to go with sticker dice.
Right.
And he said, you know, we did this because people were asking for sticker dice because with the custom dice, you know, the engraved dice, it was hard to tell what it was. So, so that's interesting to hear Sarah say that. Yeah.
And I had that same problem with Quarriors. A lot of the dice just kind of sometimes are hard to read.
Wait, what was that? So I think Castle Dice is better than Quarriors for that, for sure. I think the dice are slightly bigger. So
she goes on to say, I really do enjoy custom dice as long as the symbols are simple and easy to differentiate from other symbols. That is an advantage of sticker dice. The downside of stickers is putting them onto the dice straight. Some people really hate stickers. So there are pros and cons for both kinds of custom dice, like we just said.
Yes.
All of the Stone Age cups smell bad. Ugh. We used a cedar block to deodorize ours.
Yeah. And you just threw mine away. Just,
yeah, no.
I don't care, dude. I hate dice cups, whatever.
And she says, good luck with Water Balloon. I also really enjoy multi-purpose cards. This is a long comment. I also really enjoy multi-purpose cards. One of our most popular prototypes has three choices per card, and people really enjoy the challenge of choosing.
Yeah.
I
like that.
Yeah. Death of a Salesman sounds interesting, especially with what you've discussed. To add to it, Death Takes a Holiday is a 1934 movie, so you'll have to be careful with naming your game because it's copyrighted. How about Dead End Job? That's pretty good.
That is.
Change the theme to corporate life since they're in suits and dresses. If I understand it, the scale could be changed to range from things like desk clerk to CEO.
Yeah, that's really
that's good. That's good. One player would want them to die in the low-level jobs, while the other wants them to die in the high-level jobs. Hope this helps, and sorry if I didn't quite understand your comment. No, you nailed it.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah. Boy, that's a great idea. So, yeah, so, right. So, so rather than it being good or evil deeds, it's CEO or mailroom.
And the good guy would want them to get higher up the ladder to be more fulfilled.
Right.
Whereas the bad guy would want him to die early.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a great idea.
That's good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for those comments, guys. We really appreciate that. We're gonna give here another plug to our big events at Gen Con this year. We've got three exciting events at Gen Con this year. We've been talking about them for a little while here. We want to keep on reminding you guys. First of all, we've got our Podcasting 101 panel. We're going to tell you guys all about... Well, basically, all about what it takes to start your own podcast. What we've experienced, what we learned in the process, and where we screwed up, and where we've hopefully made good. That's going to be on Friday at 2:00.
And even if you're not interested in starting a podcast, we'll have some fun stories from the trenches of podcasting that we haven't talked about on the show.
Yeah, so. Right. So that's on Friday at 1:00. Then right after that, we've got our First Time Game Designers Workshop. That's on Friday at 4:00, where we're going to have some of our game designer buddies join us for that panel and talk about all the exciting pitfalls and strategies on making your first game, with some tips and tricks and what we learned and all that good stuff.
And I can announce
if you guys
would like to know. Right, would like to know. First time we're announcing this. We're going to probably have one more designer, but right now the panel is Rob and I, of course, and then also Grant Rodiak and Jason Katarski.
Yeah.
So we're very happy to have both those guys, both very experienced designers, more so than us for sure.
Absolutely.
And we're working on one more, and we'll probably announce that hopefully on our Gen Con pre-show special.
Makes sense.
And then it'll be good times.
Yeah. So come check it out and learn from the best about what it takes to get your first game going and ask your questions. That's what it's all about. And then finally, the one we're most excited about, this is going to be on Saturday at 2:00 at Gen Con. This is Building the Game Live. It's going to be an exciting 2-hour event.
2 hours!
2 crazy hours where we are going to record a complete episode from beginning to end live in front of an audience right there at the show. We're going to be talking about the games that we've been playing and asking you guys about the games that you've been playing at the con so far. We are then going to design a game from scratch using suggestions from the audience right there. Whole thing's going to be recorded. If you're there, you will be recorded right along with us. It's going to be our episode for that week, our big special Gen Con episode, and it's going to be super, super fun.
And hey, bring your ideas, and also feel free to bring a weird component if you think you have something funny. We may or may not be able to use that, but bring your ideas. We want you to challenge us. We really want you to make us work.
Make it hard. So. Make it difficult.
Yep.
Yeah. And as always, these are free events. You can just show up and hang out with us, and it'll be a good time. But if you guys could pre-register on the website, on the Gen Con event catalog, go in there, get your ticket in advance. That'll help us know how many people are going to come so we can be better prepared. We'd really appreciate it if you could do that.
Yes, we would.
Anything else?
I think you nailed it.
Oh, one more plug for Grand Con.
Grand Con.
Good friends Mark and Brian at Grand Con. It's going to be a convention coming up this summer, this September, I should say. It's first year ever for Grand Con. Go to grand-con.com and learn more about that. We're going to be there. It's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. First year they've ever done this big gaming and comic convention.
Yep, and we'll be there hosting a panel. We'll have a table. We'll also be hosting a panel.
Yep.
Another Game Designers Workshop panel.
Yep.
So we've got some good guests. I'm not going to announce them now, but we've got some good guests that'll be there with us.
Yep, it's going to be a good time. So if you're in the area, if you're available, come to Grand Con. It's going to be great. grand-con.com. And that's all we got for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in once again. If you want to get in touch with us, and we highly encourage that, you can contact us or leave comments on our website, which is buildingthegamepodcast.com. You can also send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastBTG. Jason is @JASlingerland, and I am @poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook, and you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and you can come back again next week where we're going to be stupid all over again and saying complete sentences like I almost just did there.
Wow, that was great, Rob.
It was great.
Good night. Night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game. Yeah, and she goes on to talk more about that. She says, I really do enjoy custom dice as long as the symbols are simple and easy to differentiate from other symbols. I'm going to start over with that line.